Hi. I'm going to be your host for the next 40 minutes, and then afterwards I'm going to pass it on to Lee, who has a lovely talk of her own. But I'm here to talk about security and automation. And before we begin and get into other stuff and the good meat of the talk, I kind of want to introduce myself by saying what I am not before saying what I am. So, one thing that I am not is the security person who will tell you no, at least not outright. I don't feel that's conducive. I feel like at least I should give you a yes and, or a no, and here's why, and here's some other options that we can do instead of that. I feel like, you know, by having more of a dialogue and a discourse instead of just saying, no, I'm not going to do that, unless, of course, I'm like really strapped, which some security teams are, it's really not conducive and productive to, you know, companies or just or teams or just anything. So the second thing I am not is, especially with my current job, is that I am not a person who does pretty much whack-a-mole 24/7. I did that at my previous job. It was not fun. And I felt like definitely, especially with technology growing and scaling as it is, it's not efficient when you have to play whack-a-mole on single servers at a time. We're now at cluster level. So finding a way to be more efficient with how we do our pages, making them more actionable, and figuring out true solutions to the problems, or not being alerted to small problems that happen once in a blue moon. That's more my style. So here's what I am. My name is Jamisha Fisher. I'm a security operations engineer. I love automation, ops, and security, and I aspire to be Garnet, one of the badass characters from Steven Universe. Though I'm still wanting the future vision, but it's not on point yet. I'm hoping to get there, maybe 10, 15 years. And so what I'm gonna talk about today is why security automation, kind of going into the whys of security and how it connects to my systems folk. What security automation should do, so what we should already be doing if we're not already, and what security automation can do and how we can do it. Because I believe that's really important, and if we're thinking about scaling for the future, we should also think about, you know, how we should do other things in the future for the different teams that are involved in that. Whew. I need some water. So, why security and automation? Why am I talking about this specifically? I really want to dig deep in this, but I think the better question to ask first before going into automation and why it's kind of important, especially from a systems perspective, is to talk about why security. Because that is the reason that we want more automated systems in security, especially as we grow. So let's talk about that for a bit. I think security is important because now in this day and age, everything is digitized. All our data is online, whether we like it or not. You know, like we, like especially from the recently, if you've like been hiding under a rock from social media, that's okay, I understand. Your data is still there somewhere. Especially, you know, it's somewhere and also it can be used in multiple places. But the fact that, you know, we're so interconnected now and there's so much stuff that is involved in our lives, more of the industries are going digital. It's not just healthcare or, you know, finance or government anymore. It's everything, it's social life. Everything is online. So that means our data has a much higher risk of being misused or abused or used in some way that we really don't like. As a whole lot of you can tell from recent breaches and stuff that has happened where all of a sudden you had to make a credit freeze. So, you know, now knowing that as practitioners of technology, you know, we have to keep that in mind not only for other people as users, but for us as users, that security is more needed because our industry is growing and because like technology is touching everything now. And because we know everything needs some sort of security and things have risk, that means we need to know more security. Because in order to secure things, we need to know how to secure it. And so that means it's not just up to me as a security person, though it's helpful to know things. Or it's not up to me as a security person to just only know, like, just security. Like, I need to know all the things. Or I need to ask people and have more cross-collaboration with other teams to, you know, figure out what best security practices to have within the scope of that team or within the scope of my company. And vice versa, you guys need to know what you can do as well on your end and with your abilities. So, you know, knowing and having that knowledge is important going into that, because then going back to that, we pretty much all have to work together to secure things. That's the leading point of it. It's like the reason that we do security and endpoint security automation is that so we can work together on things, so we can cross collaborate on security. And having this cross-team collaboration, it gets a lot of things done. A good case in point in this, so for me, I've worked at Google twice. One time when I was a shining intern in 2008, Google Boston, and then I came back from 2010 to 2012 for one of their graduate programs. Are you guys missing a year here? You want me to tell you what it is? So this was a glorious time for me on both ends, because I got to work at Google before and after Operation Aurora. So, you know, the big cyber attack, I had a lot of, you know, former coworkers cursing under their breath up during that time. They couldn't talk about it. But it was interesting to come back, especially as a graduate in, you know, information assurance and security engineering, to see how they kind of buffed stuff up security-wise, and also how it became a company-wide thing. And not just a company-wide thing, but a cross-team collaborative thing. From handling incidents or reporting things or even just monitoring things for different platforms, whether it was, you know, servers inside data centers or even, you know, like laptops to make sure that, you know, they were in the right place at the right time and not stolen or what have you. So it was important to see that, you know, it can truly be done, and it gives me faith that it can be done. So, another thing, while, you know, when you do cross collaboration together on security, especially in security automation, you notice that there's also a lot that is in common between security and other teams. Like, sometimes we have the same goals. So I'm going to roll it back a few years. I think it's like, what, 2014, 2015? I gave my first talk, which is amusing because, like, the impetus of me talking is actually at a conference that I went to, like, 3 years ago, and the venue was here. So this is really weird for me. But a year after, like, that impetus, I gave my very first talk, and one of the things I talked about is how, you know, some security stuff is very well connected to DevOps principles, which I also think are systems principles. So I'm going to show it to you again. This is the CIA triangle. And so the first thing we're going to focus on is like availability, right? Everybody cares if their services stay online. It is not a fun day, especially if you're a heavily dependent on service that, you know, uses a lot of chats. When you go down, it's not a fun day. It's not. It's not a fun day for you, but it's also not, you know, a fun day for security either, because, you know, it could be any sort of thing. Like, if security people can't get access to the systems in order for them to figure out what went wrong, or if it was a DDoS attack, you know, we have these same concerns. Like, to make sure that a system is up and running and that it's fast, if, you know, the company bottom line wills it to, like, that's something important, not just to, you know, security, but not just security, not just systems, but just everybody at this point. Then you have integrity. And I think this is getting more important as we're starting from just having just one servers to clusters of machines. Because definitely as you're running clusters of machines, you want to make sure that things are, you know, repeatable and standardized, that you have kind of a standard on how, like, your front ends are rolled out or how your databases are rolled out. And we're getting more programmatic in the systems ways that we do it. And this also leads to things being auditable and processed, which is important for, I think, both teams, because on one side we have the monitoring. So if a deployment goes wrong, we can check into why. And then on the other half, we also have monitoring, like post-deployment for security, where they're like, okay, somebody accessed or made this request and it was malformed, or somebody was able to get in with this, why? I believe by, you know, having systems with integrity, we're able to not only make them repeatable in process, but we're able to look at it in different ways and contexts and figure stuff out. And then the last thing, which is kind of still frilly for me, is confidentiality. And for me, it says it's the requirement of, you know, making sure that people who have access to the data are people who should have access. But I feel like now it should be the same thing, but it also shouldn't kind of slow people down. I feel like sometimes for the sake of confidentiality, some companies are like, well, you can't have access to anything. And it's just like, but we can select what you can have access to in order to get your job done. So we should be enabling through confidentiality, not a block, but ways to, you know, make sure we're cross-collaborative but not siloed. And that's going to be important for systems engineers or developers to get their job done and see what the problems are, as well as security people who need to talk with those engineers when a problem comes up that they may not understand or maybe out of their realm of expertise. So now we know the whys of why security automation should be so important and why we kind of do need it or have some semblance of it. But what should security automation be doing? Like, what are some automated tasks that we should be doing right now? Like, what are the tasks that are like spinning cogs over and over again? And when you're first starting out of the startup, you're doing it manually, but as you grow, you put another script on it, and then you put another script on it, but it still gets very, very cumbersome over and over again. What are those things that are consistently changing and that without automation, it can get cumbersome, you know, especially as you scale up? For me, when I thought about this and gave it a good long look, it was users and secrets. I feel like those are like the two major things working in operations, whether from a security standpoint or operational standpoint, that come up over and over again. You're always going to have users. You're always going to have secrets. You're always going to have users, whether it's externally for your service or internally for your service as you grow in employees and you need to set them up or you need to set up their accounts. And you're always going to have secrets, so like certificates, like secret creds, like that are supposed to be locked down and encrypted. And those are going to be the most frequently to change at your company or at your job. So it's especially important in terms of security when an incident happens that you can like just press a little button that says, okay, this is good, we're done. And this is especially important when like a zero day drops and like all of a sudden you have to change like a bunch of certificates, or oh, oops, something got like exposed to the internet and it wasn't necessarily your fault. And you still have to change it. You still have to make sure that, you know, secrets are kept, and you have to do the, you know, the infamous cred roll. So these processes are made much easier when you're able to automate them. And now, again, you don't have to be super-de-duper fancy. As I said earlier, sometimes you just need to script it up. But it's important that you do that, especially as you grow. And case in point in this, like about when I was working at my last job and Heartbleed came out, I know so many people who suffered with pain through that, trying to manually change like from server to server, whereas like my team was like, oh yeah, we already got this patched, and like, oh, we just need to renew the certificate and just push it out. That was it. And just push it out, like make a deploy change and push it out to different clusters. That was it. And I think that shows how beneficial it is that you have, you know, processes that are already kind of automated in a way to make things faster, because then you can like focus on, you know, checking afterwards to make sure that everything's okay and everything's functioning and that your service is still up, and focus on other aspects to keep it from happening again. So now that I've explained the should, let's see it in action. I like telling stories, so. This is the story of Sassy Tech. It is a fabulous company that does consulting for SaaS companies just starting out and trying to kind of build. And one thing that Sassy Tech loves is, you know, it loves the chat ops. So note, as a side note for this, if you are not into chat ops, that's cool. You can use another thing. If your team is all about that council life, if you are all about clicking a button on a web interface, that's fine. Just make sure that you're, the teams that are involved, that you're all in agreement with each other that this is what you're using. Or this is what we're using, but this is what we're using in case that part goes down. You know, I always like redundancy as a thing. So, but making sure that all the teams on board are like, yeah, this is what we're doing. Because if you use different tools without having kind of a consensus, or use different interfaces, it can kind of get hairy. Another thing that Sassy Tech also uses, because you know they work with many customers and they want to make sure like the people who are accessing it are accessing it properly, is that they use two-factor auth. Like, they know some people are working on some systems, but you know, in order to monitor and audit those controls, they have two factors so people can, you know, make sure that they are who they are. Sassy Tech in particular uses Duo, just throwing it out there for the purposes of the story. And so because of this security, because the consensus is that they all use bots, they use a lot of bots using, you know, bot technologies. But for this slide, let's think about, I'm going to show you how they use it for users and secrets. So for instance, for users, they have this bot for onboarding and offboarding called BoardBoat. It is a bot that does offboard and onboarding. And how it goes, it might be a little small. So let me see if I can, nope, I can't do that. So I'm going to move over here real quick. Hopefully I don't cause any, okay, cool. I know, hopefully I don't cause terrible squishy noises. So pretty much what this does is that it listens for a command that's called in Slack. That's the little triangle up at top. And then it goes through and it, you know, checks the flags, makes sure that things are okay. If it isn't, it's like, hey, there's an error, and it spits it back out to the chat room. But if it does, you know, if all the checks and flags are okay, it's like, okay, cool, I'm going to do a dual auth. And so it does a dual auth. If the dual auth doesn't work, you know, spits out an error. If it does, it's like, okay, we're going to do the operations, whether it's enable to or disable. And then it's going to spit out a link saying, okay, here's the operations, here's what I did, and here's what happened, and here's what didn't. So seeing that in action, we have Skylar working on stuff and doing an off-boat. Jim's making some side conversation. Skylar's doing kind of the duo thing in the background, and then Board Boat does its thing and comes back, and he's like, okay, here's the thing. Here's the report. Let me know if there's any errors. And then Skylar's like, okay, cool. You know, have a good weekend, Jim. And so, like, showing that, it's like, it's pretty easy, right? And so you still are on the same board, but it's another way to kind of manage things. So next, you also have a bot that handles secrets, and I like to call. This one's name is Aegis. And what Aegis does is kind of a similar thing. It's, you know, picking up flags, if, you know, checking for the flags and privileges and the duo off. And if the duo off works, it's like, okay, I'm going to make an API call and generate a certificate for you to review, make sure everything's okay and it's for the right site. And then we're going to review it and you know, have somebody else review it before they push it out. So this is kind of another chat that's going on in a different room, and they're like, oh no, the front end server somehow got exposed. Can we just like renew the cert and do like a cert role? And they're like, sure, cool. And Jim tries to do a cert role, but he doesn't have that duo flag. And so the bot comes back and is like, no, where's that duo flag? And Jim's like, oh, sorry, my bad. And so he puts in the duo flag, and then Aegis is like, cool, I'm going to do my thing. And then the other guy's like, okay, cool, I'm going to review this. Thanks a lot. So like that kind of shows how easy things can be, even on a small level, even though that's one side of it. So now that I've talked about what security should be doing, what can security automation do? I totally misspelled this. I'm sorry, y'all. So what can security automation do? For me, what I think of security automation doing, especially in the future, especially as we scale and grow, is that there's a need for much more contextual stuff. So like being more proactive instead of reactive in terms of security. Having different, you know, things in place where security can see what, you know, what's going to happen before it happens, or if it's already starting, like we can put a pause to it. And I think we're getting there in some ways, but I feel like that in other ways, in terms of especially monitoring and tools, we need a more holistic approach. And I feel like that in order to do that, we kind of need to integrate more of the stuff and not just have it be a security world, but like have, you know, have some, again, cross collaboration. So like, you know, we have so many integrations and APIs and monitoring tools and tools that, you know, do analytics for different things. And then we have security tools that do specific things, and but like, we should be able to be integrating those tools in order to create a more holistic picture. And I feel like to be able to do that, you know, we're going to have some of the systems tools that we use or the logging and monitoring tools that we use to have more of a security context. And some of them already do. Like one case in point is Splunk. I know Splunk has some business intelligence security stuff to monitor things in terms of logs, depending on where you look at it. And then, you know, on the other side, it's also like security does have some tools, but we also need to start kind of opening it up to other teams, like in terms of like vulnerability management and stuff like that. Let me rewind it real quick. And I feel like by providing that, you guys can get more work done. Because ultimately, the security can lead and tell people how to guide them into the right solutions. Other people are ultimately kind of doing this work. Y'all building the systems. Y'all are making them work. So I feel like working with you guys to give you the proper tools to get your jobs done is super important. And I feel like in terms of automating and creating tools, for you guys to do that and have that holistic picture so we can look at it together, and then you can be like, okay, I got it, cool, I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna do the patching, you can get more stuff done. But I know what you're saying, how? Just, we're like, we should have this, and that makes sense, but how, like, we have teams working on other important things to do our business, and you're talking to a bunch of systems, like, I'm talking to a bunch of folk, and there's only so much we can do within our own team, and, like, and just, this is overwhelming. Like, what are you telling me, to just start off and run off into the sunset, like, with this new idea? Like, I'm gonna get stopped midway. Just want y'all to take a breather. You know, it's getting a little hot in here. And kind of let's think about this. Like, yes, it definitely is difficult, and it definitely is gonna take a lot of steps, but I think this opens a lot of opportunities and possibilities. And since I love metaphors, let's start to think about, you know, how you would go about doing something from scratch. Say, like, you have a process. It might not be fully baked, and you have some security requirements, but you're not sure whether they'll fit the current process or the flow of the company. In some cases, you just can't fit security stuff to a T with, with just anything. I mean, you could go with a cookie cutter solution that only fits one team. But again, that only works for one team, and it silos things off. And I don't think that's intrinsic to the cross-collaborative culture that we're kind of building right now, and kind of the DevOpsy thing that's so popular in our industry. I also don't think going the opposite way of just fully engineering is the way either. You know, after all, ignoring security for too long, especially for the bottom line of a company, can lead to lots of difficult, complex, and most likely messy situations with consequences that are very tummy rumbling, like rumbling of the tummy. And also, sometimes engineering new things from scratch isn't always cost efficient, though it is in some cases, especially when you want to collaborate and keep security at a certain visibility. Or, you know, you don't want to lose velocity on your own team. So the best way I think of it is, you know, why not mix the two? Why not consider talking with other teams and figuring out what the best solution is? And I know what people are going to say. Like, talking with other teams, that's still taking away time. But if security is truly important to your company, you're going to need to make that time. And I'm glad to say for some companies, not all, it is starting to be a growing concern. One of the things, you know, I forgot to mention earlier is that when I first started out, I was not a security engineer. I was actually an operations engineer. I started out as a junior system administrator right out of college. But one of the reasons that they hired me is that I did have that security know-how. And from basically then on, like, every place I went to, they were like, oh, you have a security degree and you know operations? Sweet. Let's give you some of that money. So I'm glad to kind of see that going and seeing that being kind of opened up. And also that, you know, being in both worlds opens up that cross-collaboration, which is the reason why I think, you know, talking with teams is important and kind of having that open dialogue. So, story time again. We're going back to Sassy Tech and showing how, like, the should from scratch should work by introducing the story of an engineer who got hired on the security team. She's a little bit of a software / security geek. Her name is Bessie. And she's pretty freaking stoked to kind of get the company up to speed on some things, but is also kind of ready to get her hands dirty because she's a pretty technical person. So one of the things she notices when she first starts off is that the company really has a hacky way of kind of patching things, like in terms of like they really don't. What she saw is that they really don't have a vulnerability management program. They have it where it's like, oh, you know, we see this problem, but here's a problem, we're just gonna throw it over to the ops team and they're gonna patch it at some point, right? Like, and they usually do because, you know, they don't wanna lose the business, but Bessie's like, we know this could be better. So she starts to get to work. She thinks first, since she's on the security team, she thinks first about the needs and process that security needed. And of course they needed a tool to do some, you know, vulnerability management capabilities, like to make sure that, you know, some like software wasn't out of date on some servers in a way to like keep track of the false positives and kind of a system to do that. And also, you know, checked out, hey, what worked in the past? What failed in the past? Why don't we have this already? She kind of asked the security team a lot of questions to that and how they weren't up to snuff. She also talked to other engineers on operations and development teams. She thought about their feedback and also how they operated. Sassy Tech as a company was, of course, a Ruby shop. So having a way for them to kind of, you know, especially when she got stuck and hit limits of her team, could go over to other teams and be like, hey, so I'm working on this problem, and could you pair with me for a little bit and figure out, you know, a way that I can, you know, do this? And also kind of make buy-in easier, because if, you know, you're using kind of the similar tools that the rest of the company is using, it's easier for them to get on board. So also figuring this out, she also realized that, you know, both teams talked about, oh, we really like the chatbot scene. So it kind of went in line with how everybody went as far as chat ops. So having that in mind, she kind of starts to go to work and mixes, you know, the in-house tools with security practice. You know, she, based off what she researched from the, both, she went with a vulnerability kind of scanning tool that scanning and reporting software with a nice Ruby client API that stays up to date, because that's important. And then she kind of works on a mock-up and a demo to kind of extend those capabilities. Also, one thing I forgot to add, she also kind of connects this up with the kind of system inventory Sassy Tech already has for their server, so it's kind of really cool how it gets really integrated with operations tools. But for now, she creates this demo for this new bot, and it's called Beano. And what Beano does, it basically does the same checks that you've, you know, seen with the previous bots, but once it does the checks, the IP that it gets, again, Bessie's hoping to change this to connect this to the inventory, but for now she's trying to do the small demo. She's doing an IP address. She does kind of an API call to the vulnerability, you know, scanning manager, scanning software. The scan comes back, and if it's completed, you know, another API call is made for the report. And then the report gets sent back with, you know, the vulnerabilities and possible solutions for that IP address. And so to see it in action, of course, you know, Bessie's sitting down in a kind of a presentation or a short call with the people that need to see this. And she's like, okay, so here's what it does. And here's me, you know, scanning and reporting on a single IP. And so she runs the scan with the IP address, and it's like, okay, here's a report for review, and they look at the report. And there's a lot of, you know, fascination and pride in this, but there's also a couple questions. They're like, for instance, some of the developers were like, why would you put this in a pull request? Why don't you put it, like, in an issue, you know? Or, like, put it in a different format that's more readable? Or why is it just scanning one single IP? Can we connect it up to our inventory system? Do you have plans to do that? Can it scan clusters of systems so we can have it, or different data centers, since we're more concerned about that in a more wide view approach? So of course, you know, that means it's not fully there. But you know what? Bessie doesn't freak out about this, though she is a little grumbly because, you know, it's like my work. She remembers that, you know, it's nice to just have the basic idea down. Because one thing about automation is that you can't expect it to automate all the things, like, all the, like, just right off of the bat. And also that, you know, the company's going to grow and change and be different. So, you know, you can't expect to automate, you know, everything when it's not ready yet. But, you know, it will be when it's there. And, you know, and it's always good to remember that the changes will depend on your company, and it's always good to get that input. So that way you can, you know, iterate often. So, in conclusion, while my brain's still awake, here's some things to keep in mind. Security is a part of the future and will need to be automated in a cross-collaborative effort. It can no longer just be security alone holding down the fort. I believe what security automation that we can do is user management and quickly changing or rolling secrets. It's going to be especially important as we go into more of a kind of an incident response or even proactive way of changing things. And the security automation we should be doing should kind of support going through changes. It should be proactive and kind of driven by data. And it should have context for the tools that are used by systems engineers, and as well as, you know, context for the developers and system engineers from like security tools. But the only way to do that is to remember to have cross-team collaboration and remember to always, you know, repeatedly get input once things change. Thank you so much. That was super fun, and I appreciate you listening to me. And yeah.
Switch it up.
Yep, switch it up.